The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Thursday, June the 11th, 2026. All right, in studio, we have a surprise guest. Brother Ray Pritchard's in town.
I know.
In town, Tim. In studio, in the house.
Usually I'm here for the Christmas.
Yeah.
The Christmas party. And showed up 6 months early.
Christmas in June.
That's right.
As you're on your way to your very difficult assignment down in Florida.
You know, Ed, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody does.
I'm going to take one for the team. And Marlene and I are on our way to Florida. We're moving down there, and God willing, about the first week of July, we'll be settled in our park model at the Word of Life Palm Grove in Hudson, Florida.
There you go.
That other voice is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. I forgot. I had not been formally introduced.
Right. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, good morning. But everybody knows Ed's voice.
Yeah. Ed's voice.
little Ed goes a long way, man.
All right. So Fred's here. Ray's in studio with us instead of being in Kansas City and or Florida, and Ed's here you're not here on Thursdays, usually.
Yeah, usually Wesley is on, but we swapped out. I was off Monday. You know, one hand washes the other. That's in the Bible, isn't it?
It's in there somewhere. That's right.
I swap with Wesley.
Second Hezekiah, maybe.
Iron, right? I think that's right, by iron sharpens graphite.
Yeah. Yeah, or, you know.
Isn't that right? Or something like that.
Burning hands worth two in a bush? Could be.
Cleanliness is next to godliness?
That's right. It's in there somewhere. Right?
Sylvester Stallone or
what
Clint Eastwood?
What Bible are you guys reading?
All right.
The Message Bible.
All right. Well, Ray, good to have you, with us. Now, you are celebrating the Keep Believing Ministries,
right,
which is your ministry. You guys are celebrating 20 years?
20 years. We got started right here in Tupelo, Mississippi 20 years ago, and we've been doing a couple of banquets around the country, and we wanted to come back to Tupelo,
right,
to say thanks to our friends and supporters, because basically this was ground zero for Keep Believing Ministries, which now stretches through the internet all over the world.
Yeah.
But it got started right here. And
now you started that. Was that after you left the pastorate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And because while you were serving as you served as a pastor of a local church in several different cities across,
right,
the U.S. You know, you'd get run out of one.
That's
you'd move
right
on to another.
That's
one.
Right. And always move at least 500 miles away.
Right.
It's harder to find
so the
you that way.
People didn't know you. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, so you, but your last church you served was in Chicago.
Was in the Chicago area for about 17 years.
So when you decided to leave the pulpit and branch out to a, you know, an independent ministry, like you were forming Keep Believing, what was the thought process there?
Well, number one, I wrote a little gospel book for Moody Publishers called An Anchor for the Soul. There's now 1.3 million copies of that little paper. It's a gospel book.
Yeah.
It's how to go to heaven in Walmart English for the Walmart shoppers of the world. Those are my people.
Right.
And we started the ministry, if Marlene were here, she would say it this way. She would say, when we started Keep Believing, we wanted a vehicle to enable us to raise money to get the anchor books out to prison ministries and so on. And she would say, the one thing that we knew was that we were never going to go full-time with this ministry. But as the wise man said, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans,
yes.
Right? So we told God our plans, and God just chuckled and said, well, we'll see about that. And we started the ministry thinking, I thought I was going to go back into the pastorate somewhere. But the ministry grew and grew and grew. And God sent us supporters, and the funds came in. And so Marlene and I have been serving full-time with the ministry now for, really, we started it 20 years ago, and I became full-time with the ministry 19 years ago. And every step along the way, we will say this tonight at our get-together, we never had a master plan. I always felt bad about saying that we never had a master plan until I heard Franklin Graham, who's done pretty well with Samaritan's Purse. He said, we never had a master plan. We just went through whatever door God opened. And you know what? That's not a bad plan for life. If you don't know what else to do, just go through whatever door God opens and see what happens. And so here we are.
That's not really the American way.
No, it's not.
That's why it's odd when you say that. That's why you say, I'm guessing,
right,
why you say, I feel bad saying that.
Right.
Because all the experts, including church experts,
sure,
will tell you, no, man, you got to have a five-year plan, 10-year plan, all that kind
all
of thing.
All of that. Yeah.
But biblically speaking, what you said is far closer to the truth. You go through the door that God opens, and you bloom where you plant it, however you want
right
to put it, because you're not ultimately in charge.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Lean not unto your own understanding.
In all your ways acknowledge him, and what?
He shall direct your paths.
He will direct your paths. We've been working on that for 20 years, and here we are.
All right, I got one other question for you, then Fred's going to bring up the news here. What do you miss most about the pastorate? And I'll give you two choices. Okay. Would it be A, potluck suppers? Now, I don't know if they call them that around the country.
Right. But I know what you're talking about. Wednesday night dinner.
Yeah,
right.
We in the South, they call them potluck suppers. Or deacons' meetings.
Let me say it to you this way. I enjoy being a pastor, but in the last 20 years, there has never been one day where I awakened and said, man, I wish I had a budget planning meeting tonight.
I don't. That just never
that
crosses your mind.
Never
huh?
crossed my
oh,
mind.
Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, man, you're served in Southern Baptist churches, and I know they're known for the deacons' meetings and the finance committee.
Well, can I just tell one Baptist story?
Please go.
Because I've been in the ministry and pastoring in several different types of churches, but I was an interim pastor for my wife's home church, the Southern Baptist Church down in Scott County. And my first experience with a Wednesday night business meeting was, now I'm not exaggerating this, I can sometimes exaggerate for the point of humor, but the church needed a new vacuum cleaner. And the members of the church said, well, we need to get a committee together.
No, they did.
Yes, they did.
No.
To get the vacuum cleaner. And his good friend of mine, my wife's cousin, said, why don't we just send someone down to a couple of stores and find the best deal? And his mother, I was sitting right behind when he said that, his mother said, oh, son, we can't do that. And I said, wow, all the things I heard about Baptist business meetings are true. And they got a committee together. A vacuum cleaner committee. Now, listen, those were dear people. I love them and friends with many of them still.
If you have a vacuum cleaner committee, is that under the umbrella of the deacons, or do you have to elect a president and a treasurer and a secretary for the vacuum cleaner meeting?
Had to come back with the choices.
Oh, no.
And then they had to vote on it.
They had to vote on.
Are you?
I'm not making that up. And
now,
I'm not mentioning the name of the church.
Tell one other story, because I love this story. And I know if longtime listeners have probably heard this before, but Ed served in, and Ray's got 1,000 stories too. Ed served as a pastor or assistant pastor, associate, whatever you want to call him, youth pastor for many years,
right? Yeah.
even you were bivocational working here doing that.
Right.
So tell the story about the guy coming over to the parsonage. All right, listen to this, people.
Okay, this is
now, for those who don't know, if you're new to Christianity or maybe you don't even know about anything about church life, the history is for a lot of churches have had this is not so common anymore, I don't think, but parsonages, which are houses that the church owns and the pastor and his family live in the church.
Right.
Okay, so we wanted to set the backdrop maybe for those who don't know what that is. Go ahead.
Okay, and this was the same church.
Oh, man, this would make a great sitcom.
Oh, man.
So I came out on a Saturday morning. I was going to mow the grass, and there was a brother from the church unhooking the hose from the pastor, parsonage. And I said, hey, I'm not going to say his name. What are you doing? He said, I something to do with his garden. I need more hose. And so I'm coming to get this one. And I said, why? He said, I pay tithes. The church owns the hose. And so he took the hose with him.
No,
he returned it. But that was how he felt.
Oh,
and
no.
My wife, after we left there, she said, again, did I mention I love those people?
I know you did, yeah.
My wife said, this is the last parsonage we're ever living in.
Yes.
Because church people, they kind of believe, she had to get approval to change the color of the paint or the, you know.
Because you don't own the house.
You don't own the house. So she said, this is the last one. I said, yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you this story. My dad was a Methodist preacher, and the first 8 years of him serving, this would have been in the mid-60s, early 70s, we lived in a parsonage, and I just remember we didn't even own the furniture.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
It was so my dad decided when we moved to South Haven, which would be about in 76, he decided, you know what? Like your wife, he said, we're buying our own house.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was highly unusual at the time.
Yes.
Okay. And some churches considered that offensive. Oh, our parsonage is not good enough for you.
Right.
I mean, that some people took that attitude, but his idea was,
you will never own anything.
Right. You'll be 70 years old living in a tent.
Right.
Because you never would have owned your own.
And in the way of explanation, churches did that because it helped them, if they were smaller, it helped them to pay a pastor and not have to pay them enough for them to make a house payment, okay? Because they would own the house, the parsonage, and so they provided housing but didn't have to pay more salary.
Right. When did you switch over to your own home?
First church was a parsonage in California, an Evangelical Covenant Church out there. We were there for about 5 years, and it worked out okay because the people had a good they had a good spirit about things, and if we needed work done, we didn't have to appoint a vacuum cleaner committee, right? You know, and we could keep the hoses, right?
Yeah.
but the deal is, you're not building up any equity that way,
right?
And so once we left the church in Los Angeles, moved to a church in Dallas, we scraped the money together and bought a house.
Yep.
And so we've lived in our own homes ever since. Yeah.
And by the way, I there's several of those people I'm still friends with that listen to AFR and listen to this show because they communicate.
Well, one of them?
No. I just want to let you know I love y'all.
Right. Names were not mentioned.
Names were not mentioned.
To protect the innocent.
And the guilty. And it's just some of the funny stuff that happens in church. I'm sure that police officers and nurses, they all have stories like this.
Oh, yeah.
And
let me ask you this: is that in Southern Baptist circles? Is it common today? Pastors own their own homes. Is that
much
pretty standard?
Much more.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think so.
So it was it was cross denominational.
Yes.
That move to have own your own home, get away from the parsonages, right?
Right. For the very reasons you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Is that you wind up being at retirement age with nothing.
Right.
And everyone says, well, God will provide. Well, you know what? God does provide, but you will be living in a tent.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You'll have shelter.
He generally provides better if you own your own home.
Yeah. Right, 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 right. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know what would be a hit if we had a book on church stories? Maybe
the
it's probably already been done. But Dennis Swanberg used to tell some hilarious, hilarious church, because I think he was a pastor. I mean, you know him. The comedian from Louisiana. All right. And Jerry Clower had some.
Mm-hmm. He was a master storyteller.
Yeah, yes, Jerry Clower.
Oh!
It's pretty good for a guy from Boston right there. Yeah.
I've lived in Mississippi since 1985.
All right, go, Fred.
All right. Well, we need to be praying for our friends in the Midwest, Chicago area. Damaging storms in the last 24 hours, knocking out power to hundreds of thousands of people, causing delays in Ray's old area there in Chicago. O'Hare was shut down. Midway was shut down
for a
while.
It was that bad?
Wow. It was that bad. We're talking buildings knocked down, the whole shebang, as they say. So be praying for those folks. As of early this morning, according to the story we posted on our website, AFN.net, around 390,000 customers still had no electricity early this morning in the Midwest. So pretty serious storms. We're kind of used to those storms to a certain extent earlier on in the spring. Mm-hmm. But as the spring moves along and that hot weather, cold weather collision occurs, get those storms.
Just looking at the radar, it looks like another wave of red weather coming into, Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, Illinois.
Yeah, all those folks. And as we reported yesterday, Western Montana had snow just a few days ago.
Yeah, that's not right.
You don't accept that?
Something's gone wrong with the global warming.
No, I'm going to have to move if it's snowing in June.
It's just wrong.
Right, it's not supposed to be that way. All right, what's your next story?
Next story. Tim, I know you want an update from President Trump on what's going on in Iran.
Yeah, I do, Fred. tell me today.
He said enthusiastically.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, as he usually does, he was at a signing ceremony for something else yesterday. And, of course, he opens it up to reporters. To his credit, he's not afraid to take reporter questions. Mm-hmm. But he talked about what's been going on, back and forth, including last night. There were some missile exchanges between Iran and the United States. But President Trump yesterday did have a bit of news at his news conference. He talked about, and he said he was breaking news, that over the last number of weeks, they have been sneaking out through the Strait of Hormuz tankers full of oil. And he said that's why kind of gas prices have been going down. Here's a little bit of what he had to say, cut number 18.
Sir, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning, could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, I can say it now, something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran, until right now. We took out the other night 22 ships, late at night with no lights, because they don't have any radar. We took out, that's why oil's $85 a barrel. Oh, when the war's over?
Yes.
It's coming down.
All right, and then President Trump, he was on Fox and Friends this morning, called in and did most of the talking. He said they're planning to hit again very hard tonight, is the quotation, threatening in a social media post also to assume total control of Iran's oil and gas industries, including the key Kark Island, in the not-too-distant future, end quote. So there is some... aggressiveness going on. The ceasefire officially is still on.
Why do you tell the enemy what you're doing?
Well, he said the Iranians didn't find out about the sneaking the oil tankers out until yesterday afternoon.
Who told them?
He did.
Well, and Karg Island is those facilities process 90% of Iranian oil crude exports. So that would be huge if we take it.
How do you know we're going to take it?
Because that's what he said. He said we're going to take it. Although he said he's keeping his options open. I agree. I hate to say this because I don't want our folks thinking that all we're going to do is criticize President Trump. Probably sounds like it. To your point, Tim, I don't think it's wise to tell your enemy what you're doing.
If a Democrat did this, we'd be all over it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're sneaking oil tankers out, you don't tell them. When I get up at night and sneak cookies, I don't tell my wife the next day that's what I did, because she'll move the cookie jar, and I don't want oil tankers being anyway. The first thing I'm saying, Ray, I'm gonna let you talk.
Oh, this is good.
The
tips on how to get cookies late at night. That's what I need some ideas here. Yeah. So.
Actually, you don't even have a cookie jar, but the comment about inflation. That clip, I understand what President Trump was saying. He doesn't technically love inflation. He was talking about the inflation's going in the right direction. It's going to come down further when we win and oil prices sink. He said it'll sink like a rock. But that clip is going to come back to hurt him because they Democrats and the media will clip that out. I love inflation.
Yeah, he said that.
I love inflation.
So what do you mean by that? I love inflation.
I think he meant I love the news about inflation. It's going to come down, but he was speaking quickly, and that little is going to get clipped out. I think.
My question is the war back on or not? What are we doing now?
Fred knows.
Well,
somebody
said this.
All-knowing Fred.
Ceasefire is the Middle East version of what a ceasefire is.
Okay.
So you have
fair enough.
Little bits of fire. But apparently the ceasefire is still in place.
I did see an interview, I forget who, or a podcast or whatever, here recently. No, I know, it was Marco Rubio was being interviewed. He was testifying for Congress. And he was talking about, now this was helpful. That's why I really like Marco Rubio. He said part of the problem, because he was asked, why all these statements about, well, this is happening, we're going to big news coming. He says it takes 3 to 5 days for the leadership within Iran, and he talked about the different factions, okay? He said it takes 3 to 5 days for them to pass messages on to each other because they're using courier. Because every time someone pops their head up, they get a missile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this was Secretary of State Rubio's explanation of why sometimes it takes a long time. So you know, this group, you know, the IRGC, or you know, the other parts of the military, or the, you know, the mullahs, they all have to communicate with one another, but it sometimes takes 3 to 5 days because it's so slow communicating. And so that was helpful to understand that that's what's going on in Iran, because so much of their technology has been destroyed and leadership.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our break right here. And we'll be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. A lot of more stories.
A lot of more.
A lot of more. A lot of more stories. Was that correct or incorrect English?
A lot more.
Well, I did blur them. I did blend them. A lot of more stories.
A lot of mo. That's what Clubber Lang said to Rocky in Rocky III.
Oh, is that right?
You can get a lot of mo pain.
A lot of mo.
We'll be back in a few minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/AFR.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we are announcing two tours coming up in 2027, March of 2027. We're going to Greece and we're going to Italy. The Greece tour we call the Footsteps of Paul, and you're going to follow the footsteps of St. Paul in the country of Greece. And then the Italian tour, the tour of Italy, Venice, Florence, Pisa, Rome, we're calling the Make Lasagna Great Again Tour. And these are coming up in March of 2027. And if you want to read all about them, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know about these tours coming up in March of Greece and Italy, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of good fellowship, and see some of the most historic and iconic sites in the world.
But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 86:15.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thursday, June the 11th is today. By the way, we're having really good response to our tours that you just heard the spot for, coming up in March of 2027 to Greece and Italy. So if you want to read more about those, go to tours.afa.net. tours.afa.net and read all about them, the itinerary, the everything, where we're going, what we're going to see, and also how much it costs, because it costs money. It costs money to go. So check it out, tours.afa.net.
By the way, I like the music bed underneath that ad. I want the soundtrack
just
for
make
that.
You want to get up and do an Italian dance or Greek.
Well, that's what Ray was doing over here.
Yeah, he was.
Half Italian, half Greek.
It's happy music.
That's right. Makes you want to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and dance. You get up and dance.
Eat a Greek salad and some lasagna.
Staying alive, man.
I don't think that was quite Bee Gees, but anyway. But you know, the interesting thing is you're half Greek, half Italian, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So maybe you can go, maybe not this time, but next time. You're going to Boston.
I'm going to Boston.
Yeah.
And then, hey, next year, Italy and Greece.
Right. You want to do that?
Sure. Who's going to host the show? That's just Wesley and Walker going.
Allison and I are going to Italy.
Yeah.
We're doing the Italy part.
Let's make sure Fred and we have enough people left to do the show.
Fred and I will do the dance.
Yeah.
We'll do the Greek-Italian dances. Wow.
It would be awesome. I'd love to go. I've never been to Greece or Italy.
Well, if you want more information on that, tours.afa.net. You've been to either one of those, right?
Been to both. Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay.
First of all, fantastic for a vacation.
Yeah.
And to get back to the land of the Bible.
Yeah.
To get the streets where Paul walked and preached in the prison
incredible.
Where he was held in Rome.
We're going to the catacombs, too, in outside of Rome when we go. Yeah. So it's going to be I've been there twice, been to Italy twice. Went in 83, I think it was, with my dad led a tour. It was a 16 day Western Europe swing.
Oh, that'd been amazing.
Yeah, we started in Belgium, went to Holland, went to Germany, saw the Passion Play, mm-hmm. Oberammergau.
Right.
Then we went to...
Did the Reformation, Protestant Reformation.
Yes. Yeah. Drove through Austria, Innsbruck, didn't stop there, went to Milan.
Okay.
Then to Venice.
Nice.
Florence, Pisa, Rome. Then back to, went to Paris, all the way from Rome to Paris on a bus.
So I've been to Little Italy in New York and the north end of Boston.
It's pretty close.
It's very similar. Yeah. Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a few cultural differences.
few differences.
Went to Paris.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. I couldn't understand that.
Are you looking at me?
That's a little bit different in Italian and French.
It's a different. That's another tour. The different tour.
That's a whole nother thing.
Anyway. All right, Fred, what do you got, my friend? Bring your next story here.
All right. You know, there's so much going on in the world sometimes that important items do get missed. And there wasn't a lot of reporting yesterday, but there was a hearing, a congressional hearing on parental rights. That's something we talk about a whole lot around here. And in particular, what a lot of parents are facing in various jurisdictions across the country, most of them Democrat-controlled, about their kids and what their kids are being exposed to in our schools, in particular the whole transsexual issues going on. And yesterday, the Republicans had called in representatives of school districts like Loudoun County in Virginia. And if you've listened to this program and in our news, you know what goes on in Loudoun County, Virginia, one of the worst as far as liberalism goes. They had representatives also from Chicago's school district, and I think it was Los Angeles. And they were challenged by one of the Republicans on the committee about this whole issue of bathroom policies in their schools. So I want you to have a little listen to how that went. Cut number one.
Is it the policy of Chicago Public Schools to forbid biological men, boys, to go into locker rooms with biologic girls?
Any student gender identity
I take that as a yes.
Transgender women should be allowed in women's spaces.
That's a yes.
San Francisco, we follow state and federal law.
I take that as a yes as well.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's how it went. One of the gentlemen who was representing, I think, Loudoun County, said, well, it's federal law. We don't have a choice in this. Well, that's not true.
Right.
That's not true. The Supreme Court has ruled on these, and jurisdictions do have the right to these kinds of restrictions about biological boys going into girls' bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. Abby Platt was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends. She is a parent of a young boy in Loudoun County schools. And she gave testimony this morning about what her son has faced there, her young son at a school there in Loudoun County. Cut number two.
When my little boy was in the fifth grade, he had two little girls in his class that, as he would describe, were pretending to be boys. He was standing at a urinal one day and a little girl in his class walked right in and stared. My son came home devastated and in tears, distraught that a girl in his class would come and look at him while he was using the bathroom.
And if that's not bad enough, when students complain, and we've seen this before in Loudoun County about these policies, the student who complains about them, who complains about girls being allowed to go into boys' bathrooms, et cetera, and boys being allowed to go in, that sort of thing, it is the student who complains that is often punished. And Abby Platt talked about that this morning as well. Cut number three.
When people do speak out, they the the superintendent, the district, they do retaliate. And you see that. We saw that a year ago with those Loudoun boys who were filmed in their own locker room. And then what happened? They were suspended. And the school came after them so viciously. We're seeing the exact same thing happen right now at Freedom High School. You've got one kid with a camera who for years has been taking pictures of other children's genitals when they use the bathroom. For years. One brave kid came forward, and what did they do to him? They suspended him, and they're not letting him walk with his graduating class.
So being punished for speaking out against allowing girls in boys' bathrooms and vice versa.
Well,
these are people who want to subvert normalcy. They hate God. I'm talking about those who are this pro gender ideology. They hate God. They hate the world and the nature that God has created. So in rebellion to God, they rebel against that nature. And they are so full of anger and hatred, they will punish kids who act in a normal fashion in order to protect their revolutionaries. They're using kids to push their little revolution. You know, Ray, do you think that's an over exaggeration?
No, if anything, it understates the evil that's being done.
I'll try to state it even more.
Please do. Until 5 minutes ago, Ed, everybody with a brain agreed. Boys go to the boys' bathrooms. Girls go to the girls' bathroom. The situation that the mom described is completely intolerable. It's a girl coming into a boys' bathroom. And, well, we can't really even say on the
air. We had to edit.
But everybody understands, watching and gawking while the little boy is trying to go to the bathroom, that's criminal.
Yes.
That's the people who not just who protect this, but defend it and promote it and consider it normal. Woe to them who call good evil and evil good. We have literally turned truth and error upside down in our society.
And in Romans 1, you go past the passage
right.
on homosexuality.
Right.
At the end of the chapter, Paul says, not only do these people actually know that, and it's a long list of sins,
right,
not
right,
just homosexuality.
Right.
He says, not only do people know that these are wrong, they encourage people to do it.
Right. And they cheer and rejoice
yeah.
over this kind of evil. So, Fred, this is an awful thing that is happening in our society. And you would think that there's good people in Loudoun County. Has to be.
Yeah.
You'd think the good people would come together and throw these evildoers out.
But you know what's scary? There's apparently not enough of them.
Yeah.
Unless there's just apathy. I don't know how you'd be apathetic about these kind of things happening, but
yeah,
maybe there's just not enough of them to throw them out.
Or it is a liberal part of Virginia,
right?
That northern part, the suburbs of Washington, D.C. These people can be very intimidating. The pro trans groups, I mean, they'll dox you and things of that nature.
And punish your kids. That's the testimony here.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Just one more thing with Abby Platt. Yeah. She said one of the problems is now there are not enough private schools. Parents are trying to get their kids, rescue their kids from the public schools there, but they have nowhere to go. All these private schools are filling up.
Yeah. What was her name? Abby Platt?
Abby Platt.
Yeah. Kudos to her.
Yeah.
Shame on the head of the Loudoun County Schools, Abby Normal.
Yeah.
So we had two Abbeys at work here, and Abby Normal
had to resort to a young Frankenstein, saying, didn't you, Ed?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I think most people in the nation now are very familiar with Graham Platner, the guy from Maine.
It's a good flavor. If you go to Baskin Robbins, you can get, you can just go for your strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate, or you can go over there and get you some Graham Platner.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fred. I mean, Ray.
You may not like what's in it, right?
Right. Don't ask what's in it. Just taste it, is what I'm saying.
All right, Fred. Go ahead and actually give the story.
Yes, Graham Platner. Well, you know, some of the controversy leading up to the primary, which he won on Tuesday night this week.
For those who don't know who you're talking about, tell them.
Yeah. He is the Democrat that has been chosen in Maine to take on Republican Senator Susan Collins.
Right.
Lots of controversy around him. Even some Democrats are kind of embarrassed about this guy. He's got the Nazi tattoo. He's got... he's got women who he has in his background that say they were abused by him. So all of that has been out there. And he has said, you know, from time to time, well, that's part of my past, and I'm by all of that. But here's what's really interesting. Jody Kantor, she is the what's being described as the Me Too reporter for the New York Times. Now, the New York Times did carry a story earlier with testimony from some of the former girlfriends of Graham
Platnick. Just remind our listeners what Me Too means.
Me Too basically says we should listen to the accusations made by women against men.
Right.
It became fairly popular during when Kavanaugh was up for the Supreme Court.
Right.
And there were women who testified against him, and the Democrats said, we have to believe these women.
Right.
All right? So Jody Kantor, she was interviewed in the last couple of days about the accusations against Graham Platnick. I think it's going to shock you as to how she responded about those complaints. Cut number 14.
The accusations against Graham Platnick are not classic Me Too accusations. They're not about a boss and a young female employee being subjected to sexual advances. They were mostly made in the context of consensual relationships. There are these like very sensational texts about sex. There are allegations from former girlfriends that are not, the way my colleagues reported them, were not like classic abuse allegations.
Classic. It didn't meet the standard.
Look, now I understand her point. It is a different context. Mm. Between a boss and an employee, that doesn't mean it's an excuse that the abuse took place in the context of a relationship. She's making it sound as if this excuses Platnick, Graham, which I agree with Tim, would be great. You add Graham to any flavor, okay? But it does not excuse what he did, and that's the way she's playing it.
Yeah, this fellow, Graham Platnick, is the Democrat nominee in it's a close race, from what I understand at this point. Is this for November?
Yes.
Okay, well, we got a long way to go. It takes a lot to take a candidate out nowadays when it regarding their personal lives because... People, you pick a team nowadays, and whoever your team is, then you got to vote for them because the character issue doesn't matter anymore much.
Right.
That's just the way it is. So I don't think this hurts. I don't think anything you could say about this fella. He's a veteran too, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he said he had suffered from PTSD and lost confidence in the reason he was there, you know, serving, I guess, in Iraq or Afghanistan. Anyway, but it looks like it's a tight race right now in the state of Maine. It's unusual to have a Republican win a statewide race now, as liberal as Maine has become, but Susan Collins has held on for a long time.
Yeah, she's been described as a rhino. She's voted against Trump initiatives.
That's how she's survived.
She's a, Republican in a liberal state, so you can't be Ted Cruz and win in Maine.
Right.
Okay, that's just the way it is. Next story.
All right, there is a court hearing today in New Mexico. I did not realize New Mexico now is the only state in the country that has universal taxpayer-funded childcare. Huh. All right. So And, you know, it's a large part of the socialist agenda. That's what Mamdani wants in New York, et cetera, et cetera. It's big government programs. Here's the issue in New Mexico that's kind of interesting, is that the issue is not about the particular bill that's been passed, but the Democrat governor out there, after the bill was passed, according to the stories, removed any wage cap. In other words, you can be a millionaire in New Mexico and you can get the government to pay fully for your child care. And that's the issue here, is that the governor did this beyond what the bill talked about. So, the governor thinks it doesn't matter how wealthy you are. You should be entitled to free, government-funded, taxpayer-funded child care.
Well, let me ask you this. Should you discriminate against people being allowed to access government programs just because of their income or lack thereof?
I think so. Here's why. I do not believe in the government providing the necessities of life for all its citizens. First of all, I think it's impossible to do that. It's too expensive. It gives the government too much control over people's lives. If you feel like the government should be a conduit for providing a safety net for people, that should be for people based on their need for
it. I don't believe that.
You don't?
No.
You think
I believe it ought to be fair across the board. When you quote, and there's disagreement in here. This said maybe in the Bible. We as Christians should be charitable to everybody and help the needy and the orphans and the widows, all that.
Right.
The generosity of Christians should not be questioned in terms of helping the poor. But I'm talking about government programs.
Yeah.
I think it ought to be completely fair and neutral and shouldn't look at how much money somebody makes or not. Let me one other thing about that, and then you can jump in here, Ray. For example, I don't think we should have a progressive income tax scale.
You want a flat tax?
10% for everybody. You make $1 million, you pay 10%. You make $100,000, you make 10%. You make $25,000, you pay 10%.
That's not a government handout program, though. You're talking about taxing everyone the same. Which I happen to agree with.
Okay,
I
think you agree with that?
Yeah.
But here's what I'm saying is that okay, you're saying the safety net, but I'm saying that somebody who pays in taxes should they just because they make a certain amount of money shouldn't disqualify them from accessing the same public schools, for example, that everybody else does.
Well, they can.
Or if they want to go to the health department, they can go to the health department. I just don't believe in discriminating against people based on their income.
So you're in favor of socialized medicine? Like everybody could go to the everyone could have Medicaid?
Yeah. I'm just saying. I just don't believe in. No, in other words, Social Security. Okay.
Yeah.
There's talk of, okay, we need to don't allow people who have a certain income to get Social Security.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I say, no, wait a minute. I don't care how much they made.
Go get it, man.
Well, because they
paid into it their whole lives. Why are you going to just say they can't have it?
Right. No, I agree with that.
Because they make a certain amount of money.
I agree with that.
Maybe we're just ships in the night.
we're ships
in the night passing through the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
And we got
sneaking
oil.
Through.
And we're doing fine, but Trump told everybody we were doing. Go ahead, Ray.
Ships in the night, trying not to get blown out of the water.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sorry, maybe that was a little confusing, and we can flesh this out later. But I see your point, and I think you see mine. Go ahead, Ray.
You're on the side of saying if Elon Musk has all these kids, he ought to be able to get the same child care
as everybody else.
Everybody, even though he's the richest man in the world.
Why punish him for that? I'm just saying he probably wouldn't take access to it. But once you start getting into that, that is a form of socialism. That's the government deciding what's fair and what isn't fair. And I just think that you ought to treat all people the same, no matter how much money they do or don't make.
So you believe in
putting words in my mouth.
to each according to his ability and each according to his need. That's what you believe.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No. Wait, man.
Here we go.
Okay. I'll go to the Bible for an example.
Okay.
When the Bible says we're to tithe, what does that mean?
10%. You get 10%.
Does it say except for people and then it gives you a progressive tithing scale?
No, you're right about that. So everybody should tithe
the same amount.
And if it winds up being $20, that's just what you pay.
That's God's principle.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. All right, well, we can
still have fellowship after, you know.
Yeah, possibly.
You owe me a lunch, by the way, for something you promised, and something happened, and you owe me a lunch.
Oh, and you remember it.
I just got an image in my mind. Elon Musk on food stamps. For his 10,000 kids.
Hey, he may need it one day.
That's right.
Say Starlink goes down the tubes.
And all his other Teslas don't.
Yeah.
They're not working anymore.
He can go live on his base on Mars.
All right. Anyway, listen, I haven't thought that through. what I just communicated the last 5 minutes or whatever long I went on about that.
Impulsive answer.
I haven't thought that completely.
It's not the stated position of AFR.
No,
we're giving some thoughts on the air.
It's Tim freewheeling, okay, if you can freewheeling. I do believe.
You raise good points.
Yeah. I just the class warfare thing just gets on my nerves, and when the Democrats start deciding who's eligible for what and who's not eligible for what, when it comes to government, I get a little suspicious of where they're going with that. All right, go ahead, Fred. Next story.
Well,
you got 15 seconds.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. Sorry.
I don't think
there's the music
right there.
Oh, that's it. Oh, Fred, I'm sorry.
Listen, I think we need a 5-minute break for everybody.
Time out.
Okay.
I don't care how much
money you make or don't make. We're going to take a five-minute break.
That's right. This applies to everyone equally.
That's right.
All right. We'll be back. And Steve Paisley Jordahl will be with us. Fred, we want to thank you for your contributions.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see you in a few minutes, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.